Yes, and you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're going to be speaking now with Fiona McLeod, and she's the chair of the Accountability Roundtable. It's a body dedicated to keeping governments in Australia open, honest and accountable, and I bet you they're doing working overtime, and a former chair of Transparency International Australia. Now, she's just published through Monash University Publishing as part of their In the National Interest series, not a long tome, about 100 pages, a piece called Easy Lies and Influence. Hello, Fiona, how are you?
Good morning, Annie.
Yeah, a fascinating read, absolutely. I've been fuming for quite a long time about the a level of rising corruption that's obviously emanating from our federal government and our various instruments. But we've got plenty of instruments that should be checks and balances that should be in play. But let's go first to your basic contention that everything around our government is related to the Thomas Hobbes social contract. Do you want to talk a little bit about that first?
Well, sure. Listeners may know that Thomas Hobbes' basic premise in terms of the social contract is that we give up our individual liberties and agree to be governed by voting for them in return for the promise that they will use those powers for good instead of evil. So what that means is that when you take office, a public office, such as being an elected parliamentarian, you won't use your powers to pursue personal gain, to reward your mates, to line your own pockets, to give yourself advantage, business opportunities, bending the laws to suit yourself. That this is a notion we call public trust, and it arises directly from that social contract. And unfortunately, and we're all getting mad about this, as you said, we're not seeing that. And it's boiling over into this endless frustration we have that they're just getting away with it.
Yeah, yeah, it's very dangerous stuff. And not to mention that my note-taking from your, I mean, your piece is so elegantly put together and it's so packed that, need 98 pages to tell us the truth. The Australian Institute has estimated that the corruption within our system at the moment is costing $72.3 billion each year, which is 4% of the GDP. It's very expensive.
It is, and it's not just the cost. I mean, $72 billion, how much of the NDIS could we fund for that? How many hospitals and getting our aged care system right could we use that money for, which is lining people's pockets? But we don't call it out. We don't call it corruption in Australia. We call it soft names like pork barrelling or rorting or, this notion that somebody expects that they can get into power and look after their mates or themselves. We just turn a blind eye to it. And I think it's because we're so overwhelmed and we just so fed up with the corruption that we don't know what to do about it. We turned a blind eye to it in the end because we're just paralysed.
Well, actually, someone said to me once that some people don't listen to 3CR because they don't want to know how bad things are. And I your piece says the same thing to me.
Oh, well, that's great. So in the book, Easy Lies and Influence, I consider the ways our governments have embraced corruption and favoured their own interests ahead of the public interest. So we're talking about lies, bribes, purchasing influence, rewarding those who contribute to campaign funding with their favourable treatment or advancement or appointment. And this has become standard operating procedure. And I reflect in the book on the way that corruption has become normalised in our country. We become used to the notion that our politicians are going to lie to us or not answer questions, just walk away from press conferences without giving us the truth. And the journalists are working this out, and some of them are very good at it, but others it takes a while to work that out. And we saw that in America too, you know, the great beacon of democracy. Trump lied so often and in so many ways on so many things, the journalists couldn't keep up with him. Plus, he had, you know, a captive media who were repeating these lies over and over. You know, I won the election. And this fermented civil unrest. He told lies to the mob and encouraged them to go and seize power by force. Unthinkable.
Well, you actually said that earlier. You said fighting for good rather than evil. Sociopaths, you see, they're sociopathic.
Well, this is sociopathic behaviour. It's the notion that once you are in power, you're untouchable, and increasingly people are getting away with it. And so the book really calls it out and looks at the sheer number of revelations, the massive scale of rorting of public funds, and then the complete disconnect between each revelation that we hear, sports rort, car park rorts, Hello World, Paladin, each revelation, and there being any consequence. And I'm not saying there wasn't rorting in the past, but we had a concept of ministerial responsibility, which meant ministers were held to account.
Yeah, yeah, but also it's a pattern. It's like the whole coverlet of this government is a rort, in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's its tenor.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing billions of dollars of our funds squandered, but it also has an impact on the fair market. So say you and I have a coffee shop next door to each other, and we're both busting our guts to make those coffee shops work and to try and earn ourselves an income. You suddenly score the brand new coffee machine and our outdoor furniture because you were a mate of the local politician and you contributed to their campaign, so you benefit for some grant. But people understand that unfair commercial advantage that applies and is applying in the market. And we see how unfair it is, and we see how working our guts out, and yet the reward goes to the person next door because of who they know or
yeah.
who they've paid.
And the accountability is the rot. But before we get to the fact that this is the rot, you've got a comprehensive breakdown of specific rorts. We'll call them rorts. But there are a couple of really important things, like the public service are being infiltrated by Liberal Party toadies, effectively. So political appointments into the public service is actually incredibly important. And the other one, which is the employment of public servants, they're not public servants, by contract to Labor, by a Labor hire, which they no longer have the public service accountability clauses. They're not covered.
Now, I should point out, I'm turning the cannons on the federal government in this book particularly, you might say, well, you're a former Labor candidate, so of course you'd do that. However, this sort of corruption infiltrates all parties at all levels of government. And I saw, I just heard the last piece, you were talking about Clive Palmer. Remember the lies that were told through the election? He's calling out corruption, but at the same time he's spreading misinformation about death taxes and those things, which are picked up during the election campaign. We've got no ability to stop those lies being told, and they do sway votes in the end because people don't know who to trust.
That's fascinating, isn't it? The Electoral Commission, you point out, has no power to stop people telling lies during
That's
an
right.
election.
It's not its job to vet paraphernalia and election material. What it does is make sure the election is conducted in a free and fair way. But even then, you know, during the election campaign, there were signs being put up that mimicked the Australian Electoral Commission material by Liberals.
Terrible. It's absolutely outrageous.
That's right. In AEC livery, as you call it, which looked like the AEC material, they've got a direction in one of the Chinese languages saying, vote one Liberal. And people walk in and they think, oh, I'm being directed by the AEC to vote Liberal.
That's just outrageous. And that's not even covering the outrage that is donations to...
Yes. And so what does a donation buy you? A donation buys you a seat on the Prime Minister's COVID Cabinet Committee to direct the way that funds, public funds, are spent to ensure that we recover. And, of course, if you put a gas and fuel executive to chair that committee, he's going to recommend gas and fuel projects as the way to spend our way out of the economic slump we're in.
It's pathetic. So, and the next thing that be, I mean, because we're running out of time, they're not just stealing, but putting national security at risk, because they like to present themselves as being, you know, the economic good managers, and you know, where everything's about national security. But the business about the subs is just jaw dropping.
So people may not remember this issue about the submarines, and many people will have heard that we are billions of dollars over without rebuilding our submarines. Remember the election promise that was made initially by Tony Abbott to build submarines with a French company in Adelaide? There was no proper procurement process to go through that. Billions of dollars of public funds, which should have gone through a very tight procurement
process. Yeah, because there is actually a system.
Exactly. There are systems and checks and balances, but if they're just being ignored, then there's very little we can do except hold them to account at elections.
I mean, it was bad enough that it was supposed to be $20 billion in warfare, but it's now ballooning out to $124 billion.
Yes. And if
unbelievable.
If they had done any due diligence on corruption, they would have found extraordinary allegations.
About fouls and...
Yes, in relation to the French company, which is tied to the French government, that ultimately secured that contract. So it was a blatant purchase for votes. But I do give some hope in the book about the structures that we need in place and how we can repair this. And one of those things is, of course, the National Integrity Commission that was resisted by the federal government before the end of 2008.
Surprise, surprise.
But the crossbenchers then, remember, for a period of time had the balance of power and forced the government to commit to one. And we've been waiting nearly 3 years on the promise that we would have one. But the model the government's now put up is incredibly weak, because it essentially protects parliamentarians and their staff from the same sort of scrutiny and the same sort of accountability as applied to law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, I know. It's just extraordinary. It's really weird. And it's also... I mean, you know, the whole idea that they should be allowed to get away with it. This particular federal government has been using legislative powers to change the rules and the laws. I mean, even down to things like being allowed to detain refugees forever.
And the secrecy that surrounds that, so that we don't know and deliberately don't know all sorts of things we should know in the name of national security. But so the Anti-Corruption Commission, which we have to have, or an Integrity Commission that we have to have, has to be a proper model. And beyond establishing that Integrity Commission, there are a raft of measures that we need to restore, resource properly, and put in place. Because corruption is a risk, as I said, for all politicians at all levels of government. The minute you are a candidate for election to public office, you need money. And so that's a known risk. We know that people will take money to fund their campaign. And how do they ensure they take clean money? We have to have systems around campaign contributions, and perhaps even have public funding for contributions, so they're not constantly buying favours or being owed favours or owing favours to those who have contributed to their campaign. Do you know there's not even a code of conduct for members of parliament at the current time?
Well, that was fairly well exposed by the sexual attacks on people, and the fact that the staff that work at parliament are so frightened about their job security and so can't step forward.
Yes. And so those staff are sackable without reason, as are now senior public servants. And that just needs to sink in for a minute. The role of the public service is to act fearlessly and frankly, to offer advice to government. But if you can be told that you can be sacked without cause, without notice, at a moment's notice, that must be an incredibly chilling effect on the senior public service.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. Actually, it's undermining our entire democracy.
Mm. So there's a number of ways we need to fix it, and some of them have been committed to by Labor, some of them have been committed to by the Independents, who are really leading the charge on this. So Helen Haynes has a bill up for a National Integrity Commission with a number of protections in place. First, championed by Cathy McGowan.
Yeah. The Greens have supported she, National goodness Integrity me, was she, yep. was she an Independent that was worth getting into Parliament?
Helen Haynes, fabulous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, Zali Steggall and others have been championing this too, and Bex Patrick has been pursuing freedom of information. Labor have come on board with a strong National Integrity Commission and also a mechanism that will allow ministers who spend in their portfolios against the advice of the department. They've got to declare that. That's part of their policy, which is a good step forward.
Yeah, it is a good step forward because, I mean, each time some incredibly awful thing is made apparent, and this is not even going into what must be not apparent, like the McKenzie woman, and I suppose Christian Porter, you know, they're outed for something in particular, and then they're promoted.
That's
it's
right.
Just
and
bizarre.
Exactly. I just want to make this point. Accountability and our trust in government, when they're asking us at this time to abate public health orders, to adapt our lifestyles, to address climate change, to take all sort of steps in our personal lives, that depends on trust. And if we don't trust our governments and the message they're giving us because we think it's all spin, then it's very hard to persuade a population to comply with what they need to do for their own benefit, like observe lockdown rules.
Yeah, it's a disintegration of society for the benefit of a pathetic group of people.
If we're constantly being told the whitewashing of the truth, if we constantly feel like we're being manipulated, then we're not listening. And it can boil over into that public unrest we're seeing.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. I'm really glad to have read your piece. As I said to people, it's called Easy Lies and Influence, and it's part of the Monash University Publishing series in the National Interest. And you should get it, and you should read it. Basically.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Thank you very much for talking to me, Fiona.
My pleasure. Know that a lot of that industry is still